Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, Brandon Bang and I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast is here. Haiti, have no fear. On today's I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast, Deuce Collins, Deuce Pacino is in the place to be. We're still talking about the Oscars. We're trying to figure out, break down, and understand everything, everywhere, all at once. Do you like it? Is it over your head? It was way over my head. Plus, we're still talking about the disrespect of Paul Sorvino and others. And so much more on a museum-quality, hard-hitting I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast where Deuce Pacino shares his secret fried chicken recipe. You heard it. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, start this puppy off with something real nice. Start this puppy off with something real loud. But most importantly, start this I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast off with something real funky. I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, liggity, let's go. Boom. Boom. Have no fear, the Iggy I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast is here. Welcome to the Iron Dome of Disruption. Welcome to the Ziggity Zone of Disruption. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Inflamed Ashkenazi, a.k.a. Captain Colitis, a.k.a. the Raging Bullshitter. Hope everybody's feeling good. Hope everybody's feeling safe. Hope everybody is feeling sane. And we say part-time, sometime. We do not play around because today, boom, we have the part-time, sometime co-host with the most. The young shooter is in Tsukasa. Dean Collins, Deuce Pacino, a.k.a. Deuce Collins. He's here. How are you, my friend, mi amigo?
Thank you, Michael. I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I just said I was doing good. I mean, I went on for about 2 minutes saying how good I was.
I know, but I'm just making conversation with you. I didn't ask you how you were doing. I felt like that was just to the audience. I was just checking in to see how everything was going with you. How are you?
I just said that I was doing good. I welcomed everybody to the Iron Dome of Disruption. I welcomed everybody to the Ziggity Zone of Disruption.
But are you ever like in the intro? I know that's been your intro like for as long as I can remember, but like, have you ever been like, welcome to the Ziggity Zone? Like, I'm not doing good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel good.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. I've said that a few times. I mean, normally when I'm podcasting, when I'm in the Ziggity Zone of Disruption and the Iggity Iron Dome of Disruption, normally, like, you know, intrinsically, cellularly, I feel good because I'm so happy to be in the Iron Dome of Disruption and in the Ziggity zone of disruption. But more importantly, how are you? The last time you were here, you had gone through some construction with your big move. How's that big move going?
It's going well, man. I mean, like, look, I'm still doing it. I mean, it's obviously like boring conversation. No one really wants to hear about the big move. It's been nice for me. I'm in a bigger space. I really love it. I'm trying to design it. I'm trying to like put my Why is that funny? I don't understand. What did I say that was so funny? Oh, I'm trying to design it. I'm trying to make the space my own. Why is that funny?
You used the D word.
Design? Why is that so funny? I'm trying to like put my own like taste into this. I've come to realize that I'm not an interior designer. Like I thought I had good taste and I've like selected a lot of things online. And then when it all gets here, it doesn't look the way that I thought it was going to look. Like it looks like just like a clusterfuck of shit. Like I need someone to like help me like make decisions because it doesn't look good.
What gave you the impression that you were an interior designer? Because you said, I thought I was an interior designer. Like what prompted you to think that you, the young shooter, you, Deuce Pacino, were some sort of interior designer type?
Well, my mom is an interior designer. I don't know if that's something that you knew
Lee, yes.
So I just thought that maybe that was kind of in like my bloodline. Like maybe that was a part of my genes. Like, oh, my mom's an interior designer. Maybe I have that. You know, maybe I have some of that. So I don't. And, you know, I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. I'm trying to find the right artwork. I'm trying to find all the right things. But like, it's not coming together quite the way that I want it, but it's a slow climb. So I appreciate you asking about it though. But it does feel nice to be here. And like I have a big kitchen now and I'm like trying to utilize my kitchen as like a grown up, like an adult. Like you're supposed to like cook things and make things. And like I've started making chicken, which has been really cool. I have my own secret chicken recipe. There's like lemon and garlic powder and lemon pepper. And I put rosemary and thyme, like the Simon and Garfunkel song. I've been putting that in the skillet. But other than my chicken recipe, I find myself still just like make an Easy Mac in the kitchen. Like it's not like a great look. Like I'm still trying to grow up over here.
And your secret chicken recipe, did you come up with that on your own or is that something you found on Reddit or like where'd you get that secret chicken recipe? Because you said secret, like you were very prominent about that. Like it's a secret chicken recipe.
Yes, my secret chicken recipe. It's like kind of a mishmash. Like I've taken a little bit from Gordon Ramsay. I've taken a little bit from some people on YouTube, and then I've kind of made it my own thing. You know what I mean? So that's something that I'll be making for you when we go on the road, because I'm coming to Indianapolis. So I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I should like put the skillet in my carry-on. Or maybe they have a skillet at the Airbnb, but like I do have my own skillet that I was thinking about bringing. But as long as we can get the ingredients while I'm out there, the rosemary, the thyme, the garlic cloves, the lemon pepper, and I just need you to like have the timer for me. Like after 3 to 4 minutes, that's when I flip.
Okay, I have no problem with that. I have a feeling that you're not going to be cooking for me on the road in Indianapolis. I have a feeling that somehow, some way, that will not work out. Whether it's a skillet problem, whether it's an Airbnb. By the way, have you secured our Airbnb for our trip the 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Indianapolis? Have you zeroed in on a place for us?
Oh, well, I've narrowed it down. I created a wish list on Airbnb, but I'm so glad you reminded me of that because I need to send that wish list out to you. But it just seems like there's not a lot of like, I thought I was going to be like, oh, we're on your budget, we're on your dime. Like maybe we're like looking into some castles or some houses or some like mini mansions, you know, like that, you know, I've been finding is like apartment complexes where it's like, it's so hard to just find like two beds in an apartment. And
well,
so I'm
find
kind of
the
like,
two beds. Otherwise,
no,
you,
I found
you
the
be
two
on,
beds.
Or you'd be on that couch. You'd be on that couch. You feel me?
Well, I'm not flying all the way to Indianapolis, coach, and I also have a layover, by the way. Like somehow you managed to get me a layover.
Yeah.
So I'm actually stopping in Dallas for about 4 hours. And I'm gonna be at the back of the plane again, but I am stopping in Dallas for like 4 hours. And so I don't want to like go to the Airbnb and be sleeping on a couch. Like I might as well just do all that at my house.
All right.
And like sleep in my bed.
It's gonna be good. Now let me ask you something. We talked off podcast about everything Well, how do you say the film? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
That's it.
Which I just watched last night. Now, you mentioned on the podcast that you liked it. I watched it last night, and it was ridiculously, incredibly creative. I actually read a pamphlet. It should come with a pamphlet, like a reference book, because it's so, in my opinion, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, because after reading about it, I want to watch it again, but Everything, Everywhere, what is it?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Like I said, incredibly creative and has just so many subliminal meanings. I felt like you should read the pamphlet and read the sort of, like, it should come with like some sort of like manual, like a directions kit or something like that, because I found it extremely confusing. And me and my wife, we shut the phones, we shut the curtains, we shut everything down. We were like, we need to watch this movie that, you know, obviously, you know, so many people love and have been talking about it, and they swept up the Oscars. And like I said, after reading the article with all the Easter eggs and all that stuff, I was able to make better understanding of it if and when I do watch it one more time. What were you able to take away from that film? Were you able to understand what the fuck was going on?
Yeah. Oh, no. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've realized I wanted to be like, oh, yes, I absolutely loved it. I loved it. Because that's, it seems like everyone has been saying that. They're just like, this is the greatest movie, best movie of the year. I liked it. I thought it was very creative. Obviously, super fucking creative. The directors are so talented. They come from a music video world. So they have that edge on them, like, over a lot of other directors and stuff. And so they're very creative. But I just don't like the multiverse world. It's like I'm trying to escape these Marvel movies and all these superhero movies where it's all the multiverse. And this movie, it was cool because it was very creative and everything, but it still touched upon that whole, you know, different universes and how she's got to save existence by exploring other universes and all that stuff. And I don't love that, like, topic. I don't love that, but I still thought it was very creative. I thought that the acting was really great. I love seeing Ki-Hwa Kwan. I think I'm pronouncing it right. But Data from The Goonies. I grew up on The Goonies, and I think everybody did. Everyone loves that movie. And so seeing him and from Indiana Jones make a crazy comeback. And he was great in it. I mean, he was honestly great in it. I thought he was so good. Everybody was good. But I didn't love the movie. And I have to agree with you. I liked it, but I have to agree with you. I thought it was super confusing. It was just like, it was a trip. It was a fucking trip.
Yeah, I mean, some of these people that say they love it so much, I would love it if they came on the podcast and explained what the fucking movie was about. Because like I said, after reading like the little pamphlet, the guide to Everywhere, Everything, All at Once, I was able to make sense of it. But while I was watching it, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it's interesting because so many films and so many television shows today are dealing with the metaverse, the multiverse, the subliminal, and all this, like the TV show Severance and, you know, identity and switching identity and, you know, in reality and you're not in reality. And I don't know what that's about, but for me, you know, historically and traditionally, when it comes to movies that I respond to and that resonate with me, none of them take place in the multiverse.
Multiverse.
The subliminal. They all take place in reality. Because if I asked you, young shooter, Deuce Pacino, Deuce Collins, hey, what's this movie about? Would you be even able to make an explanation of what this movie's about? Like, honestly, like if somebody said to you, what's this movie about? Are you able to articulate? Because I'd be like, I have no fucking idea.
No, I have a hard time articulating like basic movies and to throw that one at me. I mean, that's like, fuck, I need to do my research. But yeah, it's just like a mind fuck. I don't know. All these different universes. It was creative. It was cool. I do have a little tidbit. I wasn't even going to bring it up on the podcast, but I thought it was a cool story. I think it's inspiring. The only reason that I'm like kind of attached to this movie, even though I didn't love it, and I'm attached to those directors, the Daniels, who won everything at the Oscars. They won Best Picture, Best Director, all the acting, everything. So I've been following their career since 2012. And basically, when I was doing music with my band, Pacific, back in the day in 2012, they had not done a movie. They hadn't done a feature film at all. And they had only done music videos. And I watched a music video that they directed for the band The Shins. And I ended up finding their email and I emailed them. And I just wrote to them, which is crazy because I looked at this email. I found it 11 years ago. I wrote to the Daniels. And it was on March 12th, 2012, which was the day of the Oscars that they would win Best Picture, Best Directors, the day, 11 years to the day I wrote them. And I said, I wanted to let you know, I loved the work that you did for this music video. It was amazing. I can't stop watching it. And as a young musician and an aspiring filmmaker, I think you guys are awesome. And I'm in this band and it would mean the world to me if you listened to this new song that we're putting out at the end of this month. We're putting out an EP. I would love to hear what you guys think. And I found this email of that day of the Oscars 11 years ago that they wrote me back and they said, hey man, we're so glad you're into our stuff. It's surreal to be at a place in our lives where people are taking inspiration from us. Listen to your track. It's really solid, man. You guys have a cool, nice throwback sound. Good luck with the release and everything. Keep at it. And I just was tripped out by the fact that I wrote that to them 11 years to the day that they would win all these awards. So I've been following their career since back then. And I think they're extremely talented and I think they deserve everything. But I just thought that was a cool little tidbit. So I've been following them.
Have they made another film or was this the first film they made?
They made a movie before this called Swiss Army Man, starring Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. And that was the only other movie. It was a weird movie. It was like Daniel Radcliffe's like a dead body and Paul Dano's like using his body. It's so weird, but that was their only other movie. But I just remember them being extremely talented music video directors and like their work was awesome. So it was cool to see them, you know, win everything. I didn't particularly love the movie, but I still thought you can't deny it was super creative. I am Rappaport
Podcast. It is Ryan here and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire? You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
It's been a few days since the Oscars, and I gotta tell you, obviously I went super viral because I was really upset. And I truly was upset, like truly, truly was upset about the in memoriam people that they forgot. They forgot so many people at the Oscars to give them their farewell on the biggest stage that you could get during the Academy Awards. And you know, last time on the podcast, I was talking about, I didn't even realize that they didn't even have Gilbert Gottfried wasn't in there, which I think is crazy. And I realized last year they forgot Bob Saget.
Yeah, they forgot Bob Saget last year, which is also crazy. But yeah, I mean, they forgot. Look, they do this every year. There's
but
always people that are forgotten.
Happen?
I don't know. And they've stood by their decisions. They're like, you know, look, these people, we can only fit into a certain amount of time, but they live on our website. If you go to our website, they're up here. But it's like, that's horse shit. You know, they forgot Tom Sizemore. They forgot William Hurt. They forgot Gilbert Gottfried. They forgot Paul Sorvino. Who else? You know who else they forgot? They forgot Barbara Walters.
Yo, they live on the website. Nobody's going to the website. You know, and now the story about Paul Sorvino is somehow about Mira Sorvino, because she tweeted something out very sweet and tasteful. And I'm like, no, it shouldn't be about Mira Sorvino. It should be about the person who's responsible for forgetting Paul Sorvino. That's who I want to see. I don't want this story to be about Mira Sorvino. I don't want the story to be about me. I want it to be about the person who got fired for fucking up. Because that's just a fuck up. They don't just live on them. Oh, I'm going to go to the Academy Award website to do like a deep dig on who you forgot.
No, it's ridiculous. They need a committee that's like dedicated to that, like the in memoriam section, not like production assistants and all these people. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. They forgot so many people, and they always do. They always do. But they, you know, apparently they stand by their decision. But I was shocked. I noticed that too. There were a ton of people in that broadcast that just weren't included, which was super disrespectful. Who've dedicated their whole lives to their craft and to that industry.
And like I said on the last podcast, and I'm holding your feet to the fire, Dean. If and when I ever do pass away, if they forget me at the Academy Awards, I want blood in the fucking streets. I want bodies in the streets. I want fucking bodies outside the Academy Award building. And I'm holding you responsible for that. Say I will make sure that there's blood in the street and bodies piled up. Say it right now.
I promise you, I will do whatever I can to make sure that you get up in that in memoriam section, but I don't want to have anything to do with blood on the streets, blood in the streets. I'm not a fighter. And like, if they forget you, they forget you. Like that's, I don't know what to tell you. There's only so much I could do on my end to push that campaign for you to get in that in memoriam. But I mean, let's face it. If they forgot Paul Sorvino and Anne Heche and Barbara Walters, there's just like a strong inkling that I could feel that they're probably going to forget you. And I don't want to be rude about it. And that's not me. I totally would include you. I'd put you right there. You would have been where Olivia Newton-John was. It would have opened with you, Michael Rapaport. And you, it would have been...
You little motherfucker, you.
No, I'm saying I have your back. I'm saying I have your back. I'm just saying I just have a feeling that maybe you'd be forgotten in that category. I hope not. I hope that I'm completely wrong about that. But you know that I'll go to bat for you. Always have, always
so
will.
So what are you willing to do? You just said you're not willing to ensure me that there will be blood in the streets and bodies piled up. So how far are you willing to take things?
I'm willing to hop on a phone call and call the Academy or call the production assistants or the office and say, hey, like, it'd be awesome if you can include him. But I don't know what more I could do than that. I'm not going to like fucking protest on the streets about it.
Wow.
I would hope that I wouldn't even have to make that phone call. I would hope that your peers would gladly accept you in that in memoriam section. But we don't need to talk about that because that's not happening anytime soon.
Anytime okay? soon. Anytime soon, Ed, because I'm only 52, which brings 50. Me... I'm only yep. 52, but in a few days, I will be 53. I am turning 53 years old on March 20th. As everybody knows, we do the podcast every year. It's my birthday. Every year, it's Dean's birthday. I said the other day, I'm not that thrilled to be the number 53. It doesn't sound good because I realize my inner child is still like a 14-year-old boy. And then my brain is the brain of a 91-year-old, phlegmed up, frustrated, back aching, foot swollen 91-year-old. So I'm fucked up.
It's crazy because this is the first day that you've mentioned that it's almost your birthday. And I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh my God, your birthday is coming up. And you haven't said a word about it. And it was so strange to me because you've mentioned your birthday coming up like a month prior. It'll be like February 20th. You'll be like, guess whose birthday is coming up in 1 month and 5 hours from now? It's my birthday. Don't forget a gift. And it's like, it's already like, it is in a couple of days and you haven't said a word about it. And I found that really fascinating. And I don't know what that was about, but you just seem a little bit more humble this year.
Do you have anything planned? Are you getting me a gift? Are you bringing me a gift to Indianapolis? Because when we're in Indianapolis at the Helium Improv, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, I will have been 53. It'll be a few days after my birthday. Do you have any surprises? You don't have to give the surprise now, but do you have anything planned? Let's just put it that way. Do you have anything planned that you might want to just sort of hint at for the week in Indianapolis?
I mean, look, I've thought about this like long and hard, and it's like, what do you get a man who has everything? You know what I'm saying? Like, what, you have it all. You got it all. Like, what do you want? You tell me what you want, and I will get it. And I know that kind of defeats the purpose of like I want to get you something special. But you know, like I did. Remember, I got you that candle. Remember, I got you that candle that one year. I got you that really nice candle.
Yeah.
You remember that though, right?
When was when I that? Got you that? When was it? Was that when I moved? Or was that when I turned 50? When was that? That was years ago. That was
but
years
I'm just
ago.
Saying that was no. I
was
know,
fucking
but
years ago, Mom. Listen, I don't give a fuck about what you got me in the past. You fuck. I'm concerned about what you're going to get me for turning 53. Because I'm not happy about it, man. I'm not happy. Because my image, like I'm just starting to get concerned because I'm like, you know how like, you know, older men now, like you see them, they're in their little suits and their hats. Like, am I supposed to just suddenly start dressing like that? Or what do I do? Can I no longer wear Jordans? Should I hand in all my fancy cashmere? Do I not, like, what am I supposed to do? How do you dress appropriately as a 53-year-old man in 2023?
Fuck no, man. Don't let that shit get to your head. I think your fashion sense has gotten way better than when you were fucking in your 30s. I think you've become like somewhat of a fashion icon now. People are snapping photos of you in the row jackets and your cashmere and Captain Cashmere and King of Cashmere and all that stuff. And I think what you're doing is great. I don't think that you should stop any of that. I think like it's inspiring to other people. It's inspiring to someone who's in their 30s, who's going to be 33 in a few months. Someone like me. I think that maybe, you know, your outfits don't change. Your style doesn't change, but maybe you look into start transitioning into different kind of acting work. You know, I was thinking about that recently. It's like, you know, a lot of famous people start going into those commercials where they're like, you know, hey, you have dick problems, you should try Viagra. You know, like, you know, when they start doing those infomercials and things like that for like, your cholesterol could start going up at this age and I'm taking this medication. And I think that you should take this medication. I think it's something to explore.
Time out, motherfucker. I don't have no dick problems, motherfucker.
I'm not saying you do.
I'm not hocking dick pills when I don't have actual dick problems. The fuck are you talking about? I mean, if I'm gonna do something like age appropriate, I'm gonna be like, hey, I wake up and I plank Okay, hey, I wake up and I do a 5-minute sit-up routine. Do you?
Okay, I like that. I see, that's a part of brainstorming the ideas. You know what I mean? Like, that's a part of the whole thing. Like, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, that's a much better idea than the Viagra pills. I think that doing the sit-ups and the planks, like, maybe that could be your niche. You know, but I just don't think that there's anything wrong with going down that road at your age. Like, Brian Cox from Succession, he's doing the voice of McDonald's. You know, he says, but just maybe you don't do McDonald's. Maybe you do health things. Maybe you just trying to inspire the people that, hey, at my age, if I can, like you said, if I can do it, you can fucking do it. Maybe those are your commercials now.
Oh, man.
I don't think you need to change your style.
Oh man, that's I gotta figure it out. I am Rappaport Podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Have you been watching anything besides Everything Everywhere All at Once? Have you watched any other movies, any documentaries? What have you been seeing, Shooter?
Well, I haven't been watching Everything Everywhere All at Once. I only saw that once in theaters, and I'm good on that movie. But I have been rewatching Breaking Bad for the third time now, going through it all. I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, and it is so fucking incredible. It really is. Like, I know everyone's like The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, like, it is one of the greatest shows on TV. I mean, we're like 10 years past, you know, the final episode when it came out, but God, it's just so good. Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, everyone knows about Breaking Bad. I'm on season 4 now. I'm almost done. So fucking good.
You watched all the episodes?
All of them. This is my third time going through it. And, you know, there's 5 seasons of this, but like, it's
what's
just...
your takeaway? What is your takeaway from watching it?
It's incredible. I mean, it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest show on TV that I've ever seen. Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, everyone on it is so fucking good. It's kind of sad. Like, I mean, I wonder if Aaron Paul feels like like bummed in his career that he hasn't crossed over to like doing movies and stuff. But it's like at the same time, you don't ever have to do anything for the rest of your life. The guy probably made $30 million on that fucking show. I would assume he made millions on that show. But, you know, all the Emmys that they won, like that's a great show to be a part of. But Bryan Cranston, I mean, God, he's so fucking good. But they're amazing together. The other thing that I'm watching, which is definitely added to the sick fuck lists of documentaries. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called Jared from Subway. Everybody knows Jared from Subway, obviously, when Subway was kicking those iconic commercials with Jared holding up those fucking blue jeans and those pants that he wore that, you know, he's Mr. Skinny Guy now. And he was interacting with all sorts of celebrities. I mean, they were saying like it was like he was Michael Jackson at one point. Everyone knew Jared from Subway. And obviously, we know what happened to Jared from Subway. And if you don't know what happened to Jared from Subway and why Subway stopped making those commercials was because he got caught with child porn and like hooking up with children and molesting and assaulting children. He's been in jail, or he got like an 18-year jail sentence or whatever. So they're doing this documentary on him and how this all came about. And they have all these disturbing, disturbing audio calls and voicemails from this woman who befriends him and then becomes an informant for the FBI and is taken like years off of her life to try and, you know, get him indicted on all these like disgusting charges. And the audio is so disturbing, and it's definitely a sick fuck watch. There's three parts. It's on Discovery Plus. That's what I'm watching it on. But if you haven't seen
it,
I recommend watching Jared from Subway.
How many nuts. Episodes are there?
Three parts. I think there are three parts. I just finished part two, but it is like it's disgusting.
Is he this in dude, it? Is it, or is it archival footage? He's not in it now, is he?
No. He's in jail now. I mean, I think he gets out in 2027 or something like that.
Jesus.
But I think they beat the shit out of him in the recent years. They definitely beat the shit out of him in jail.
Oh, they probably gave him their 6-inch subs or their 12-inch subs.
100%. And he deserves all of it. It is really disturbing shit. But I recommend watching that. Still watching MILF Manor with Disco Mommy. I can't stop watching that. Disco Mommy, have you experienced this? But like, I don't know if we talked about this, but Disco Mommy and like three of the other MILFs from that show are all in my DMs, like trying to like, they're protecting Disco Mommy. Like, I feel like I really fucked up and like really insulted the MILF community out there.
Yes, I saw that Disco Mommy and some of her cohorts were offended. I mean, they should be so lucky that they get mentioned by anybody, let alone the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Some of them wanted to challenge us to a fitness competition. Did you see that?
That's what I saw. I saw he was tagging me, and I'm like, I feel bad for saying anything against her because I kind of wanted to take her up on that. I haven't worked out in like 6 months, and I was thinking like maybe I do drive to Orange County and do some kind of fitness routine with Disco Mommy. It doesn't sound like a bad thing. She made it sound like a bad thing. I'm like, I would love a free personal training session and to get I'll get in the ring with Disco Mommy. She wants to get in the ring. I'll get in the ring with her. I'll do some Andy Kaufman shit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we have nothing. We're celebrating Disco Mommy. We're celebrating all the MILFs from MILF Manor. And we have nothing against him. We just were a little taken aback by the show when it first came on, as is everybody else. And you've continued to watch it. I haven't continued to watch it. Where are things going on MILF Manor?
There was one disturbing scene, a really disturbing scene where all the MILFs are blindfolded and they're on massage beds and they're all next to each other side by side. And the kids, who are all their sons, mind you, they're all their sons, okay? All the women's children who are like 20 and look like they're 16. They don't even look like they're in their early 20s. They look like they're 16, 17 years old. All the kids have to massage each other's mothers, and some of them are like required to massage their own mother, and the women are blindfolded. And there's like one scene where this mom is getting massaged by her son, and the son is like, oh, this is so weird. Like in his head, he's like kind of looking at the camera like, this is so weird. And she's like, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, that feels so good. And it is so fucking disturbing. It is so disturbing.
Hold on. Do you know what episode number that is?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I will absolutely try and pull that clip from you because that has been haunting my dreams for weeks.
Ben, you continue to watch.
I how can you not? I mean, it's like a fucking, it's like a car wreck. You can't turn away from it.
That is crazy. That is insane. And they got the nerve to be offended by us breaking down their show, Disco Mommy and her cohorts.
Right. No, it's wild shit, but they're all like, they're really horny women. They're really horny. But yeah, it's MILF Manor Mondays, man. You gotta get on board with it.
Finally, I want to say, you know what I'm going through right now, Shooter? I am
depression.
Going through... What?
Depression?
No.
Anxiety?
No. No.
Oh, what are you going through?
I am in a chocolate chip cookie spiral.
Oh.
You know, I love my chocolate chip cookies. And yeah. There's so many really good chocolate chip cookie spots in New York City, and I'm having problems avoiding them. And I don't know what to do because I was doing well avoiding them or sort of rationing them out. But there's a handful of really good chocolate chip cookie places in New York that I'm having problems. You know, like I think about them.
Yeah.
And where are you at with your eating and your sweets and all that?
Oh my God, man. Well, I've been trying the past like 2 days, and I mean, it's like a crack addict. It's like 2 days is like a lifetime for me. That's like, I'm doing really well by doing that within 2 days. But the crazy thing is I'll like eat good for 2 days and I'll lose like 5 pounds. Like I'll notice like I'm skinnier. Maybe it's just like a placebo effect, but
that's
I get on
placebo.
The scale. And, no, because I got on the scale, I was 135. And then 2 days later I was 130, but I did crack yesterday. I'm the wrong person to talk to about how to curb those cravings. I mean, if it were up to me, all I would tell you is stay away from those chocolate chip cookies on the streets and go home and get yourself some mini Nestle cookies and make that shit yourself. But I don't think that's good advice because that's what I'm doing in my... It's like a problem. So what I do is I have it in my refrigerator, the cookie dough, and I'm like, I'm not going to make the cookies. I'm going to be good. But then I end up eating all the raw dough.
Man.
So it's like a fucking, you have to stay away from it for a period of time and those cravings will disappear.
All right. Well, I appreciate that coming from somebody that is in the throes of it.
Anyway, oh, and then when you and I get to Indianapolis, it's going to be like, who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
No, I, oh man, who knows? Especially when you're
talking about- Because we're not good together. It's like two addicts together. It's
especially
like,
when
we're
you're
gonna,
talking about bringing your skillet and making your special fried chicken.
I'll leave that at home. We can binge out on cookies over there. It's going to be like a fucking meth den where we are at that Airbnb with sweets.
All right, Shooter. Came Saw Disrupted. We'll be in Indianapolis the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Deuce Collins, Deuce Pacino, a.k.a. the Rappaport security team. The one-man security team will be with me. All tickets, all information for all the shows are available at Michael Rappaport Comedy. .com. Miles Jordan, a.k.a. the Bleach Brothers, a.k.a. the Dust Brothers. Take me out of here with something real nice. Take me out of here with something real loud. But most importantly, end this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast with something real funky. I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. I'm done.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them?
Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.